Well, good morning, everyone.
Buenos días a todos.
We're so glad that you've joined us for our Sunday school class this morning.
Estamos alegres que se ha unido con nosotros por nuestra escuela dominical.
And since last Sunday, we started a new unit of study.
Desde el domingo pasado, hemos empezado una nueva unidad.
And the title of the unit is Scriptures Difficult to Understand.
Este serie se llama Escrituras Difíciles de Entender.
And the title of our lesson this morning,
el título de nuestra lección hoy,
is Wars of Extermination.
Guerras de exterminio.
And so, as we can see from the title,
como podemos ver de nuestro título,
in continuing with scriptures that are difficult to understand,
en seguir estudiando escrituras que son difíciles de entender,
we are going to be covering the sections of scripture that deal with war.
Vamos a cubrir las secciones de escritura sobre guerra.
And the wars that we see take place, especially during the Exodus and as they entered into the Promised Land.
Las guerras que leemos, especialmente después del Éxodo, cuando iban a entrar en la tierra prometida,
God spoke to the Israelites to literally destroy, obliterate the nations that they confronted.
Dios le habló a las israelitas para completamente destruir las naciones que estaban en guerra contra.
Many that don't believe in God or even believe that the Bible is true.
Muchos que no creen en Dios o que creen que la Biblia no es verdad.
Would say that if God is good and God is love, why would he allow such destruction?
Tienen la pregunta, si Dios es bueno, ¿por qué permitiría este tipo de destrucción?
And so, let's open in prayer and let's begin our lesson.
Vamos a abrir en oración y entrar en nuestra lección.
Lord, I pray that you would give us insight and understanding, Lord, as to why, what the reasons were, as to why these things took place. Lord, why they were seemingly so intense. But Lord, we pray that you'd help us to see and understand, Lord God, as you see it. And so bless our Sunday school lesson, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
To introduce the lesson,
para introducir el estudio,
we want to look at the central truth first.
Queremos ver la verdad central primero.
The central truth is this: God enables us to live victoriously over evil.
Dios nos habilita para vivir victoriosamente sobre el mal.
The scripture describes you and me as soldiers in his army.
La escritura nos describe como soldados en su fuerza.
When we became Christians, we entered into war, whether we realize it or not.
Cuando nos hicimos cristianos, entramos a una guerra. Aunque no lo realizamos.
And God enables us through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Y Dios nos ayuda por medio del Espíritu Santo.
To live victoriously over evil.
De vivir una vida victoriosamente sobre el mal.
Our key verse.
Nuestro versículo clave.
Is found in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12.
Se encuentra en Efesios 6 verso 12.
And it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Porque no tenemos lucha contra sangre y carne, sino contra principados, contra potestades, contra los gobernadores de las tinieblas de este siglo, contra huestes espirituales de maldad en las regiones celestes.
We are in a constant battle.
Estamos en una batalla siempre.
We battle against our own flesh, our own fallen nature.
Batallamos en contra de nuestra carne, de nuestro maldad caído.
And yet, on the other hand, we have an enemy that we are fighting who is against us.
Y también tenemos un enemigo que está en contra de nosotros.
And so we, as God's soldiers, are in a constant battle.
Y como soldados de la fe de Dios, nos encontramos en una guerra.
The intention of the enemy is to destroy us.
La intención de nuestro enemigo es de destruirnos.
To cause us to fall.
Para hacernos caer.
To turn away from God.
De volvernos afuera de alejarnos de Dios.
To lose our faith in Him.
De perder nuestra fe en Dios.
And so as we consider these wars of extermination,
mientras que consideramos estas guerras de exterminio,
we see that we are studying a difficult section of Scripture.
Vamos a estudiar una sección difícil de entender en la Escritura.
Because God told the Israelites to completely destroy the nations that occupied the land that He had promised to His people.
Dios le dijo a los israelitas que destruyeran por completo a las naciones que ocupaban la tierra que les había prometido.
We must remember that God's ways are higher than our ways.
Tenemos que recordar que el manera de Dios es más alto que nuestro pensamiento.
And God always has a reason for the instructions that He gives to us.
Dios siempre tiene razones para las instrucciones que Él nos da.
And so we're going to watch a video, both in English and Spanish, that helps to highlight this.
Vamos a mirar un video en inglés y luego en español.
Hi, let me ask you a question. When does Judgment Day happen? Most people would say sometime in the future or at the end of the age. They would be correct. The Bible tells us that someday God will judge every person for the things they've done in this life, whether good or evil. But does God always wait until Judgment Day to punish people for their sins? The Scriptures seem to indicate that when it suits His purposes, God can and does administer His judgment within history. Often His purpose in doing so is to demonstrate His righteous rule over the world and to use His punishment as a warning or example for others. In 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote about God's judgment of the ancient Israelites. He wrote, "Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did." Today's lesson deals with God's command to Israel regarding the Canaanites when entering the Promised Land. He said to destroy them completely. Such a command may seem harsh to us today, but when we consider the sins of the Canaanites listed in Leviticus 18, such as incest, child sacrifice, homosexuality, and bestiality, it becomes clear why God used Israel as His instrument to judge them. And when we consider that God waited over 400 years for the sin of the Amorites to reach its full measure before judging them, we find that the Lord is merciful and long-suffering. He's far from harsh and cruel. We don't always understand God's ways, but even when His commandments seem stern and harsh, we know that the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love.
Hola, quiero hacerle una pregunta. ¿Cuándo será el día del juicio? La mayoría de las personas diría algún día en el futuro o al final de los tiempos, y estarían en lo cierto. La Biblia nos dice que algún día Dios juzgará a cada persona por las cosas que han hecho en esta vida, sean buenas o malas. Pero ¿esperará siempre Dios hasta el día del juicio para castigar a la gente por su pecado? La Escritura parece indicar que cuando sirve a sus propósitos, Dios puede y administra su juicio dentro de la misma historia. A menudo su propósito al hacer tal cosa es mostrar su justo gobierno sobre el mundo y usar su castigo como una advertencia o ejemplo para otros. En 1 Corintios, Pablo escribió sobre el juicio de Dios sobre los antiguos israelitas. Él escribió, "Mas estas cosas sucedieron como ejemplos para nosotros, para que no codiciemos cosas malas como ellos codiciaron." La lección de hoy trata del mandato de Dios a Israel respecto a los cananeos al entrar en la tierra prometida. Él dijo, "Los destruirás del todo." Tal mandamiento puede parecer duro hoy. Pero cuando consideramos los pecados de los cananeos enumerados en Levítico 18, como el incesto, el sacrificio de niños, la homosexualidad y la bestialidad, es evidente por qué Dios usó a Israel como un instrumento para juzgarlos. Y cuando consideramos que Dios esperó más de 400 años para que la inequidad de los amorreos llegara a su colmo antes de juzgarlos, encontramos que el Señor es misericordioso y paciente. Está lejos de ser duro y cruel. No siempre entendemos los caminos de Dios. Pero incluso cuando sus mandamientos parecen severos y duros, sabemos que misericordioso y clemente es Jehová, lento para la ira y grande en misericordia.
Now, as we just saw in this in these videos,
como vimos en estos videos,
God has a higher intention in what he told the Israelites.
Dios tiene una intención más alta en lo que dijo a los israelitas.
He tells them to destroy these nations.
Los dijo que tenían que destruir esas naciones.
But the scripture bears out that these nations had fallen into wickedness.
Pero la escritura nos enseña claramente que estas naciones habían caído en mucho maldad.
So God wasn't in essence ridding the land of innocent, pure individuals.
Dios no estaba eliminando la tierra de individuales que eran puros.
No, these nations had been living in wickedness for hundreds of years.
Estas naciones habían vivido muy pecaminoso por cientos de años.
And so God would be using the Israelites to bring forth his judgment against these nations.
Y Dios quería usar a las israelitas para traer su juicio en contra de estas naciones.
Consider this for a moment.
Consider esto por un momento.
Even when the Israelites fell into idolatry, sin, and wickedness.
Aun cuando los israelitas cayeron en idolatría o pecado o maldad.
God allowed Israel to be judged by first the Syrian nation.
Dios dejó que los israelitas fueron juzgados primero por la nación de Siria.
And then by the Babylonians.
Y luego por medio de Babilonia.
And this helps to also emphasize that our God is just.
Esto nos ayuda a entender que nuestro Dios es justo.
If any of you have ever been in the military.
Si alguno de ustedes han estado en un lugar militario.
You know that there is what's called rules of engagement.
Saben muy bien que hay reglas de la guerra.
And what these rules tell those in the army or the armed forces.
Y estas reglas de combate dicen a los que están en el militario.
It defines the circumstances or the degree or even the manner in which force can be applied.
Son para definir las circunstancias, el grado y la manera que pueden aplicar el uso de la fuerza.
In many ways, God is displaying rules of engagement as well.
Y en mucha manera aquí entendemos que Dios también estaba dando las reglas, las normas para combate.
Now, they may seem harsh to us.
Pueden parecerse muy difícil para nosotros.
But as we continue in our study, we'll see the reasons why the Lord allowed these particular rules of engagement.
Pero en seguir adelante en nuestro estudio, vamos a entender por qué Dios permitió estas instrucciones.
And we'll also see the consequences for not obeying the Lord.
Y también vamos a leer acerca de las consecuencias cuando no obedecieron a Dios.
Now, some of this is very intense.
Mucho de esto es difícil para entender.
They weren't told to just kill them. They were told to wipe them out.
Dios les dijo que necesitaban matarlos y también eliminarlos.
And so let's continue in our study.
Vamos a seguir adelante.
The first part is a mandate for such wars.
El primer parte es un mandato para tales guerras.
And our first subpoint is mandate of total annihilation.
Vamos a mirar mandato de aniquilación total.
In Deuteronomy chapter 7,
in Deuteronomio 7,
We will read about some of how the Lord tells the Israelites to deal with the nations.
Vamos a leer acerca de cómo Dios le dijo a Israel para tratar esas naciones.
Now, to us, they may seem harsh.
Para nosotros se puede parecer muy duro.
But remember, God knows what he's doing.
Pero recuerde que Dios sí sabe lo que hace.
And he has good reason as to why he's giving these orders.
Y vamos a ver que él tiene razones para estas instrucciones.
I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 6.
Él va a leer Deuteronomio 7, versos 1 a 6 en inglés.
You can follow along in Spanish, but I'll be reading most of the scriptures in English.
Pueden seguir en su Biblia de español, pero lo va a leer en inglés.
It says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which you are entering to possess and has driven out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites, the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them before you and you strike them down, then you must utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. What is more, you shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will be inflamed against you, and he will quickly destroy you. But this is how you should deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their Asherim and burn their graven images with fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be his special people and treasured above all peoples who are on the face of the earth. These verses begin to show God's direction to the Israelites.
Estos versos enseña el dirección de Dios con Israel.
And as we can see, he commands them to literally destroy those nations.
Y vemos en leer esto que él les dijo necesitaban destruir completamente esas naciones.
I'm going to read verses 16 through 18 as well.
Ahora él va a leer en versos 16
And it says, you must consume all the people whom the Lord your God will deliver to you. Your eye shall have no pity on them, nor shall you serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. Mm-hmm. If you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispose or dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them. You must surely remember that the Lord your God, or what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. Mm-hmm. Now, these verses are emphasizing the fact that these nations must be dealt with.
Estos versos tienen énfasis que las naciones tenían que ser tratado con.
God is bringing the Israelites back to the promised land.
Dios estaba trayendo a Israel a la tierra prometida.
Now remember, this is the land that God promised to Abraham and to all of his descendants.
Recuerde, esta tierra era prometida a Abraham y sus descendientes.
But remember when Joseph ended up in Egypt as well as Jacob his father and all Israel.
Y recuerde que Josué se encontró en Egipto y luego su padre y sus hijos también.
They remained in Egypt for over 400 years.
Entonces se quedaron en Egipto por más de 400 años.
And it was during those 400, over 400 years that the Canaanites and otherites remained there.
Y era por esos más de 400 años que los cananitas y otros grupos que se quedaron allí en la tierra prometida.
While they were in Egypt, these nations began to grow and began to increase in their wickedness and sin against God.
Mientras que Israel estaba en Egipto, las otras naciones aumentaron en su maldad.
Their wickedness was so bad that the Lord told them, don't intermix with these nations.
Y esas naciones eran tan pecaminosos que Dios le dijo a Israel que no debían de conectarse, juntarse con esas naciones.
And this wickedness was so bad that we can see from the scripture that it included horrific kinds of sins that would even cause you and me to blush.
Y eran tan pecaminoso que aún leemos en la escritura que a nosotros en este día no nos puede quebrar el corazón en leer lo que hacían.
I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, just to bring out what the Lord is doing here.
Él va a leer Deuteronomio 9, versos 4 y 5.
You see, it's not because Israel was all that that God was dealing with the nations.
No era por cualquier razón que Dios estaba tratando con esas naciones.
No, it's because of their own wickedness.
Era específicamente porque eran tan pecaminosos.
Deuteronomy 9, 4 and 5 says, "Do not say in your heart, after the Lord your God has driven them out before you, on account of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord is driving them out before you. It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you enter to possess the land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out before you, and that he may fulfill the word which he swore to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Mm-hmm. As we can see from these scriptures,
como podemos entender en leer estas escrituras,
Israel is ultimately the tool in God's hand to bring judgment against these wicked nations.
Israel estaba en el mano de Dios para traer juicio en contra de estas naciones pecaminosas.
Some of the sins that they were committing were sins such as homosexuality.
Algunos de sus pecados eran homosexuales.
They were sacrificing their children to idols.
Sacrificando sus niños a ídolos.
Even horrific things like bestiality.
Y estar con las bestias.
As we saw the gentleman mentioned in the video.
Como mencionó el hombre en el video.
These are an abomination to God.
Eran abominación a Dios.
You can read that in Leviticus chapter 18, verses 24 through 30.
Pueden leer más en Levíticos 13.
18,
oh, 18 versos 24 a 30.
These in these lands were so wicked that God declared it was time to remove them from the land.
Por eso declaró Dios que era tiempo de moverlos, sacarlos de la tierra prometida.
Now, we as Christians here in America,
nosotros como cristianos en América,
need to consider these very same things.
También tenemos que considerar estas mismas cosas.
Consider the sins that are taking place even here in our nation.
En considerar los pecados que están pasando aún en nuestra nación.
In some ways, the floodgates of hell have been opened.
Es como si las puertas del infierno se están abriendo.
When we consider the multitudes of children that aren't even allowed to be born because of abortion.
En considerar los multitudes de bebés que no se permiten nacer por razón de abortarlos.
When we consider all of the sins, even in our land, we must fear God's judgment.
En considerar todas las los pecados de nuestra nación, tenemos que tener el temor de Dios.
I think it was Leonard Ravenhill.
Yo creo que era el hermano Leonard Ravenhill,
who preached a sermon or even wrote a book called that named Sodom Had No Bible.
De que él escribió o predicó un mensaje llamado Sodoma No Tenía Biblia.
And in it he brought out how that this land was judged in the way that it was, and yet they didn't have a Bible.
Y él enseñó que este área, Sodoma, fue juzgado por todo lo que hicieron y aún ellos no tenían Biblia.
Think of the greater judgment that a nation like America will face.
Piensa en el juicio que América va a tener, que tenemos sin una Biblia.
For we have Bibles, we have sermons and churches galore.
América tiene Biblias, mensajes predicados y muchísimo más.
You would think that a nation with so much of a Christian influence.
Podemos pensar esta nación con tanta influencia cristiana.
That it wouldn't be so sinful, and yet look at where we're going as a nation.
Que no debíamos de ser tan pecaminosos, pero queremos ver a dónde vamos.
Now, Moses speaking from the Lord, told the Israelites to destroy these nations.
Moisés, hablando por el Señor, dijo a Israel que tenían que destruir estas naciones.
Now, one question we can ask is why?
Y la pregunta que tenemos es, ¿por qué?
Why destroy these nations like this?
¿Por qué destruir estas naciones de esa manera?
Well, one of the chief reasons.
Uno de los respuestas principales.
Is that if they don't deal with these nations.
Que si no trataron con estas naciones.
Then they would turn around and ultimately cause them to turn away from God.
Entonces, últimamente iba a causar que Israel se alejara de Dios.
It says in Deuteronomy 7:4, they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will be inflamed against you, and he will quickly destroy you.
En Deuteronomio 7:4 dice, porque apartará de mí tu hijo que serviría a dioses ajenos. Entonces el furor de Jehová se encenderá contra vosotros y os destruirá bien pronto.
You see, these nations needed to be dealt with because God's people are a holy people.
Tenían que tratar con estas naciones porque el pueblo de Dios es santo.
And the Lord has stated clearly that if these nations would remain, it would cause the Israelites to turn away from him.
Y Dios declaró claramente que iba a causar que Israel se alejara de servir a Dios.
Sin has a power to it.
El pecado tiene poder.
There is no way that you nor I.
No hay manera que usted ni yo.
That if we go and play around with sin, that it's not ultimately going to affect us.
Que si usted y yo jugamos con el pecado. No hay manera que no nos va a afectar.
Solomon said it this way in the Proverbs.
Solomón le dijo esto en Proverbios.
Can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned?
¿Puede tomar fuego un hombre acerca de él y su ropa no sea quemado?
Some have described it as playing around with a rattler.
Algunos lo han describido de jugar con una rattlesnake. I can't remember.
And if you start playing around with it, you might think that you can be smarter than it, but eventually you will get bit.
Quizás en jugar con el pecado, puedes pensar yo estoy más astuto que el pecado, pero no, te puede mordir, te puede hacer caer.
God is in essence sparing them from being lured into sin from these wicked nations.
Dios quería eliminar que ellos caían en el pecado de esas naciones.
Is God this drastic in the New Testament?
¿Es Dios tan drástico en el Nuevo Testamento?
Think about that for a moment.
Piénsalo por un momento.
Think about your and my spiritual lives.
Piensa acerca de la vida espiritual tuyo y mío.
Jesus said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out.
Jesús dijo, si tu ojo te ofenda, sácalo.
He said, it's better to go into heaven with one eye than to have both eyes in hell.
Es mejor entrar en el cielo con un ojo en vez de entrar en el infierno con los dos.
He says, if your right hand offends you, cut it off.
Dijo, si tu brazo diestra te ofenda, córtalo.
This is drastic faith.
Es un fe drástico.
If there's something that will cause us to hinder our relationship with God, it needs to be cut out.
Si hay algo que no nos ayuda en nuestra relación con Dios, debe de eliminarse.
Yes, it's drastic in the New Testament as well.
Sí, es drástico en el Nuevo Testamento también.
Now, a quick qualification here.
Quiero cualificar lo que dije.
He's not saying to literally cut out your eyeball nor cut off your arm.
No es literalmente de sacar tu ojo o cortar tu brazo.
But he's talking about those things that would hinder our relationship with God need to be dealt with.
Está hablando que tenemos que tratar con esas cosas que no son buenas en nuestra relación con Dios.
Now, moving forward,
en seguir adelante,
there's a mandate of action.
Hay un mandato de acción.
And we can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 25.
Pueden ir a Deuteronomio 25.
And here we'll begin to see this mandate of action.
Vamos a ver este mandato de acción.
And so I'm going to read verses 17 through 19.
Él va a leer versos 17 a 19.
And the Lord says this, remember that Amalek, what Amalek did to you by the road when you were coming out of Egypt, how he met you by the way and attacked your rear, at your rear and all that were stragglers behind you when you were exhausted and weary, and he did not fear God. Therefore, it shall be when the Lord your God has given you rest from all your surrounding enemies in the land which the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance to possess, that you must blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You must not forget it. These verses
Estos versos
are showing that God is also going to deal with a nation that dealt with Israel in a wrong way.
Nos enseña que Dios iba a tratar con las naciones que trataron mal con Israel.
As Israel was on their way to the Promised Land,
mientras que Israel andaba a la tierra prometida,
Amalek and the Amalekites dealt harshly with Israel.
Los Amalekitas trataron mal con Israel.
And they did not allow the Israelites to go forward, and they began to affect wrongly those that were following along in the back of the crowds of people.
Ellos no hicieron bien y afectaron a la gente que seguía atrás de ese grupo.
And so he would remember how they treated Israel.
Y recordaban cómo trataron a Israel.
Now, this judgment that Israel would ultimately bring to these nations,
y este juicio que Israel iba a traer a las naciones,
would be used of God to eliminate the source of idolatry in the land.
Fue usado para eliminar la idolatría en la tierra.
He told them in Deuteronomy 7:25, the images of their gods you are to burn with fire.
Les dijo en Deuteronomio 7:25 que tenían que quemar esos ídolos.
He says, do not covet the silver and gold on them, and do not take it for yourselves, or you will be ensnared by it, for it's detestable to the Lord your God.
Verso 25 dice, quemarás las esculturas de dioses en el fuego, no codiciarás la plata ni el oro que recubrieron, ni tomarás por ti, ni seas que tropieces por ello.
And so God is dealing with the idolatry of this land.
Y Dios estaba tratando con la idolatría de la tierra.
And God doesn't want his people to compromise and begin to do what they are doing.
Dios no quería que su pueblo cayera en compromiso y hacer cosas malas.
We're still told today, don't mix with the world.
No, aún nosotros en este día sabemos mejor que mezclarnos con el mundo.
In other words, the wickedness of the world.
El pecaminoso cosa del mundo.
But we are called to be separate, to be holy unto God.
Estamos llamados a ser santos a Dios.
And so in Deuteronomy 25, like we had just read,
como leímos en Deuteronomio 25,
the Amalekites had mistreated the Israelites.
Los Amalekitas habían tratado mal a Israel.
And so God would deal with that nation because of how they treated Israel.
Y por esa razón Dios trató con esa nación.
And so this is God's retributive justice, it's called.
Y esto se llama la justicia de retribución.
God is punishing them for the sins that they have committed even against Israel.
Dios estaba castigando esta nación por los pecados que hicieron en contra de Israel.
Now, part two,
parte dos,
is the execution of such wars.
Ejecución de tales guerras.
And we see that some of that is qualified destruction.
Destrucción con excepciones.
Now, I'm going to read these verses here.
Él va a leer estos versos.
And just pay attention to what it's saying here.
Y escucha estos versos.
It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Avenge the children of Israel on the Midianites. Afterward, you will be gathered to your people.'" And then verse 7 says, "They waged war against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses, and they killed every male." And then verse 9 says, "The children of Israel returned with the women of Midian and their children and took their livestock and all their flocks and all their wealth for plunder." And then moving forward to 15 through 20, Moses said to them, "Have you saved all the women alive? These caused the children of Israel, through the word of Balaam, to act unfaithfully against the Lord concerning the things of Peor. And there was a plague among the assembly of the Lord. So now kill every male among the little ones and every woman who has known a man by lying with him. But keep alive for yourselves all the young girls who have not known a man by lying with him. And you stay outside the camp 7 days. Whoever has killed any person and whoever has touched the slain, purify both yourselves and the captives on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. Purify all your clothes and all that is made of skins and of the work of goat's hair and all things made of wood." Now in these initial verses,
en estos versos inicial,
we see that the Lord is dealing with the Midianites.
Leemos que Dios está tratando con los Midianitas.
And the Midianites were neighbors of Israel.
Los Midianitas eran, estaban cerca de Israel.
And so here, God's direction to completely destroy this group of people.
Y aquí la instrucción de destruir completamente este pueblo
brings about two different things.
Nos enseña dos cosas.
First, Israel would not immediately fulfill God's command.
Primero, Israel no cumplió inmediatamente el mandato.
And so these wars against these people would continue for a time.
Entonces las guerras seguirían por un tiempo.
Secondly, the initial command was tempered with qualifications or exceptions, which we learn about in later revelations.
Segundo, la orden inicial fue mitigada con limitaciones y excepciones que conocemos en revelaciones posteriores.
And so when we read about Moses commanding them to destroy the Midianites,
en leer que Moisés dirigió que necesitaban destruir a las Midianitas,
we discover in Numbers 25,
leemos en Números 25,
that it was the Midianites who seduced the Israelites into idolatry and being involved in sexual immorality.
Era las Midianitas que hicieron que Israel cayere en inmoralidad sexual y idolatría.
One of them was even just openly practicing this right in front of Moses.
Uno lo practicó directamente en frente de Moisés.
As a result of their idolatry, God had even begun his judgment by sending a plague that killed 24,000 people.
Y Dios mandó un castigo, una plaga que cobró más de 24 miles de vidas.
And so God, even though he told them to destroy the Midianites,
aunque Dios les dijo que necesitaban destruir a los Midianitas,
he did allow them to spare the women who had not had sexual relations with any of the men.
Él permitió misericordiosamente de eliminar, no, dejar que los vírgenes siguieran viviendo.
And so he allowed them to live, although they lived as slaves.
Y vivieron como esclavos.
And so we see how God would allow certain kinds of people to be spared depending what they did.
Y aquí leemos que Dios permitió misericordia en algunos que no tenían que ser matados.
Remember, even when Joshua and the Israelites went to Jericho,
recuerde que cuando Josué fue a Jericó,
Rahab had protected the spies.
La mujer Rahab protegió a los espías.
And so even though they would destroy all of Jericho,
y aunque ellos destruyeron todo a Jericó,
God allowed Rahab and all of those that she had in her house to live.
Dios permitió que Rahab y su familia fueron salvados.
Our second point,
nuestro punto segundo,
is partial obedience.
Obediencia parcial.
And in Judges chapter 1, we can see how partial obedience really isn't obedience at all.
En Jueces capítulo 1 podemos leer que obediencia parcial no es obediencia.
You see, God has told the Israelites to destroy these nations.
Dios le había dicho a Israel que destruyeran estas naciones.
And when they would inhabit the land, then they wouldn't have these enemies to frustrate the grace of God in their lives.
Y en habitar en la tierra, no iban a tener a estos enemigos para frustrar la gracia de Dios.
Partial obedience is displeasing to God.
La desobediencia parcial no es agradable a Dios.
Just like disobedience is displeasing to him.
De la misma manera que la desobediencia es desagradable a Dios.
No one can please God without total obedience.
Nadie puede obedecer a Dios sin completa obediencia.
Look at Judges chapter 1 verse 28.
Abren a Jueces capítulo 1, verso 28.
And it says, when the children of Israel became strong, they put the Canaanites to hard labor as slaves, but they did not actually drive them out.
Cuando Israel se sintió fuerte, hizo tributario al cananeo, pero no lo expulsó.
You see, God wanted them to fully drive out the Canaanites.
Dios quería que ellos echaran afuera completamente a los cananitos.
But instead, they actually didn't, so it was only a partial obedience.
Y no lo hicieron, por eso era obediencia parcial.
Look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 5.
Vaya a Jueces capítulo 2, versos 1 a 5.
And it says, the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you into this land that I promised your fathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, but you must not make a pact with the inhabitants of this land, and you must tear down their altars, yet you have not obeyed me. What is this that you have done? So now I say, I will not drive them out before you. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you. When the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel, the people raised their voices and wept aloud. They named that place Bochim and sacrificed to the Lord there. And these verses are expressing the reality of their disobedience.
Estos versos expresan la realidad de su desobediencia.
See, partial obedience is just like disobedience.
La obediencia parcial es la misma cosa con desobediencia.
And so the very fact that they didn't obey fully,
y por razón que no obedecieron completamente,
in other words, they ended up cohabiting with the Canaanites,
y cohabitaron con los Canaanitos,
they would eventually reap the consequences of this partial obedience.
Eventualmente sacaron las consecuencias de esta obediencia parcial.
Because of their disobedience, the Canaanites would become a perpetual and painful thorn in their sides.
Por razón de su desobediencia, los cananitos iban a seguir siendo una molesta constantemente a Israel.
The Lord would even say that he would not drive these nations out.
Aún el Señor dijo, yo no voy a liberarlos de los cananitas.
And instead, they would actually suffer the most devastating consequence.
Y sufrieron consecuencias.
Which was paganism in the land, which would be a snare that would draw them into idolatry.
Que era el paganismo en la tierra y era lo que los engañó para caer en la idolatría.
Always remember that partial obedience is really disobedience.
Siempre recuerde que la obediencia parcial es desobediencia.
And this really causes great danger to our spiritual lives.
Y no es bueno en ninguna manera para nuestra vida espiritual.
Let me bring it to our personal lives.
Quiero hablar personalmente.
In many ways, these thorns in the flesh, these thorns in their side.
En muchas maneras, estas cosas que molestan.
This paganism that was of the Canaanites that would lead them to idolatry.
El paganismo de los cananitas que los llevó a caer en la idolatría
is describing the same battle that you and I face as Christians.
Describe la misma batalla que usted y yo encontramos como cristianos.
There is a battle that we wage daily between the flesh and the spirit.
Hay una batalla que tenemos diariamente dentro el espíritu y la carne.
And this battle between the flesh and the spirit is one that if you give in to the flesh.
Y esta batalla es uno que si damos alimento victoria a la carne.
Eventually we will begin to be led by the flesh to destruction.
Eventualmente nos llevará a la destrucción.
And vice versa, if we lean towards the Spirit and obey the Spirit, we will overcome the flesh.
Y al contrario, si damos el enfoque al Espíritu, vamos a tener victoria.
You see, the flesh is like these thorns in our side.
La carne es como esas cosas que molestan para alejarnos de Dios.
And you and I need to choose to fully obey God and be led by the Spirit.
Y usted y yo necesitamos escoger la obediencia y ser guiados por el Espíritu.
That's why it's important for us to have a disciplined spiritual life.
Por eso es muy importante tener una vida de disciplina espiritualmente.
Because it's very easy to fall into weakness and into the flesh and ultimately bring destruction upon ourselves.
Es muy fácil caer, ir por manera de nuestra carne y caer en destrucción.
Now let's look at a Christian perspective.
Ahora queremos ver una perspectiva cristiana.
Thankfully, there's a promise in the midst of trials.
Gracias que a Dios que hay una promesa en medio de tribulaciones.
Look at Matthew 24.
Abren sus Biblias en Mateo 24.
And let's read verses 6 through 8.
Él va a leer versos 6 a 8.
And it says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, epidemics, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. This first section of verses,
esta primera porción de escritura,
is speaking concerning the fact that there will be the rise of wars and rumors of wars in the latter days.
Nos habla acerca de la verdad que van a haber guerras y vamos a oír de guerras.
This is a fulfillment of what God has already prophesied through Jesus Christ.
Es el cumplimiento de lo que por medio de Jesús Dios profeció.
And before Jesus returns to take the church unto himself.
Y antes que Jesús regrese para arrebatar la iglesia o llevar la iglesia a él mismo.
There will be wars and rumors of wars.
Vamos a ver guerras y escuchar de guerras.
And so you see, this is one of the realities that are going to be a part of life, especially in the latter days.
Es una realidad de la vida en los últimos días.
And yet Jesus is giving this promise in the midst of this not to be afraid.
Pero aquí Jesús da una promesa en medio de estos versos de no temer.
Fear is dispelled or taken away when we know what is coming.
El temor se no va a quedarse cuando sabemos lo que ha de venir.
And so in many ways, if we know that these things are coming, we can prepare our hearts and be ready for it.
Entonces, de mucha manera, si sabemos lo que ha de venir, podemos preparar nuestro corazón.
Some of the trials that they would ultimately endure would be so bad that some would be martyred for their faith. It would be a struggle.
Algunas pruebas y tribulaciones pueden ser tan tremendo que aún algunos pueden morir por su fe y ser mártires.
But then in Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus gives the Great Commission.
Leemos en Mateo 28, cuando Jesús dio la gran comisión.
It talks to them about the authority that he's going to give them to be able to share the gospel with those in the world.
Y habla de la autoridad suprema que él va a dar para compartir el evangelio.
They would go in Jesus' name.
Iban a ir por medio del nombre de Jesucristo.
And with his authority.
Y con su autoridad.
And then Jesus leaves them with this wonderful promise in verse 20.
En verso 20, Jesús les dio una bonita, bella promesa.
He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Y yo estoy con vosotros todos los días hasta el fin del mundo.
Now, lastly,
últimamente,
the final point is conduct amid trials.
El punto final de la lección es conducta en la tribulación.
You see, we will go through trials as Christians.
Sí, vamos a pasar por tribulación como cristianos.
Yet in the midst of all that we go through, we are to conduct ourselves a particular way.
Pero en medio de todo lo que pasamos, hay una manera de cómo conductarnos.
Look at Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 18.
Abren sus Biblias a Romanos 12, versos 17 a 19.
And it says, repay no one evil for evil. Commend what is honest in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. These verses are telling us how we are to conduct ourselves.
Estos versos nos enseñan cómo debemos de conductarnos como cristianos.
We are not to repay evil for evil.
No debemos pagar el mal mal por mal.
We don't need to try to get revenge.
Ni debemos buscar la venganza.
The Lord says, vengeance is mine.
Jesús dijo, mía es la venganza.
In Ephesians 6, 11 through 13,
in Ephesians 6, 11 a 13,
he tells Paul, speaking to the church in Ephesus,
Pablo aquí está hablando a la iglesia en Éfeso.
He says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, or the plans of the devil. For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Mm-hmm. We are in a battle.
Nosotros nos encontramos en una batalla.
And we need to be robed in the armor of God.
Necesitamos estar vestidos en la arma de Dios.
But we need, as we're fighting in this battle,
y necesitamos, mientras que estamos en esta batalla,
we need to realize that we are representatives of God in the midst of this battle.
Necesitamos recordar que representamos a Jesús en medio de nuestra batalla.
You see, we must understand that many of the trials that we face aren't of earthly origin.
Tenemos que entender que muchas de las pruebas y batallas que tenemos tienen su origen aquí en la tierra.
We have an enemy.
Sí, tenemos un enemigo.
He's the adversary.
Es un adversario.
Satan.
Satán.
The devil.
El diablo.
And we need to be ready to fight.
Y tenemos que estar preparados para guerra.
But we need to conduct ourselves as good soldiers.
Y conductarnos de una manera como soldados de la fe.
Look at the way Paul told this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4.
Fíjese como Pablo le dijo a Timoteo en 2 de Timoteo 2, 1 a 4.
We're not promised a trouble-free life.
No es prometido que no vamos a tener prueba en nuestra vida.
Paul tells Timothy, "So you, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Share the things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses with faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Endure hard times as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier on active duty entangles himself with the civilian affairs that he may please the enlisting officer." Mm-hmm. He says we are to be good soldiers.
Aquí él nos dice que debemos de ser como un buen soldado.
And we need to be ready to fight the good fight of faith.
Y listos para pelear la buena batalla de la fe.
And so what we read in regards to those, a destruction of these nations in the Old Testament.
Entonces, lo que leemos acerca de las destrucciones de esas naciones en el Antiguo Testamento.
Remember that it's ultimately God's judgment against the wickedness of those nations.
Recuerde, es el juicio de Dios en contra de la maldad que se encontró en esas naciones.
And when Israel chose to partially obey God, which is really disobedience.
Y cuando Israel escogió obediencia parcial, ¿cuál es desobediencia?
Those nations that they did not destroy became thorns on their side.
Esas naciones que no destruyeron eran molesta en su camino.
It would be ultimately those nations that would lead them to the worshiping of Baal. They would become idolatrous and would ultimately cause them to be taken captive by the Babylonians.
Eran esas naciones pecaminosas que hicieron a Israel que se cayeron en el servicio de Baal, de la idolatría y de cosas de desobediencia.
And it would cause them to be captive.
Y últimamente ser cautivos como esclavos.
You see, and in many ways it's speaking of our spiritual lives.
En muchas maneras habla de nuestras vidas espiritualmente.
If we don't deal with sin in our lives or we allow compromise.
Si nosotros permitimos el compromiso.
Ultimately, those kinds of things can end up destroying our spiritual lives.
Últimamente, esas tipas de cosas pueden destruir nuestra vida espiritualmente.
And bring us into bondage.
Y traernos como en un lugar como esclavos.
That's why Jesus said, "Be faithful in the little."
Por eso Jesús dijo, "Ser fiel en lo poco."
We need to deal with those areas so that we don't allow ourselves to be captivated by the enemy or any other vice.
Tenemos que guardarnos y tratar con estas cosas para no ser captivos por esos pecados que quieren destruirnos.
Now let's finish our lesson by going through the ministry in action.
Queremos ahora terminar nuestra lección viendo el ministerio en acción.
First, let's pray for our governmental leaders or government leaders and others who make decisions regarding national conflicts.
Ore por los líderes gubernamentales y otros que toman decisiones respecto a los conflictos nacionales.
Secondly, send an encouraging card or a care package to someone in active military service.
Envíe una tarjeta de saludo o ánimo, un paquete con diversos regalitos a alguien en el servicio militar activo.
And lastly, evaluate your own readiness for spiritual warfare.
Evalúe su propia preparación para la guerra espiritual.
We need to realize we're in a war.
Tenemos que entender que sí estamos en una guerra.
And we need to pray and ask the Lord to help us to fight this good fight of faith.
Y tenemos que pedirle al Señor que nos ayude a pelear la batalla, el buen batalla de nuestra fe.
Let's pray.
Queremos orar.
Lord, we thank you for all that we've been learning. I pray that, Lord, through our lesson this morning, that we would come away with an understanding as to why, Lord, sometimes what is overwhelming or even hard for us to understand, that it would have made sense, Lord, that you were dealing with wickedness in these nations and you used Israel to bring your judgment against that wickedness. I pray, Lord, that we would understand who you are as God, who is just, and that, Lord, you will deal with sin and wickedness. Lord, we pray for our own nation, that you would have mercy and be patient, and that, Lord, our nation would humble itself, that we would turn from our wicked ways in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, as your people, to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Lord, if there's any compromise, deal with it in our hearts and our lives. Help us to be great representatives of who you are. Thank you for all that we're learning, and we'll continue to learn. In Jesus' name, amen.